My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Guys, welcome to another riveting and award-winning episode of Mom Struggling Well. It really hasn't won any awards. I just periodically give myself some awards to keep the spirits high around the Mom Struggling Well office, which, as you know, is really just my closet. Right now, though, my closet, you guys, is my very favorite place to be. This week has been really something else. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and my husband all had surgery this week. The whole family just up and broke. So they usually all help me with the kids so I can get the show done. But this week, not only could they not help me, I had to help them. What? My sweet husband got his right shoulder operated on, and so he is now one-armed. He's only got the left hand. So if you add narcotics to the mix, he just kind of stands around confusing, starting things that he can't finish, and it's a real mess. So I got to drive him and my kids around. Everybody needs a bath, and I have to do it. I had to floss my husband's teeth today, and I just kept reminding myself, I did say I would do this in sickness and in health. I did say the sickness thing. I remember that. So anyway, the fact that you're getting a show today is an act of God. So if you enjoy the show, be sure to thank him, because I do not know how I found the time for this. No, it really has been fun. Especially for me, because my husband's pretty funny on narcotics. I really do need to have him on the show at some point to stand up for himself. And I knew I was frazzled this week when the kids kind of listed off all the surgeries everyone had had. And then they said, and mom had surgery that made her really boring. And I was so offended. How dare you? That's such a dumb thing to be offended about. But you know, if you're not your best self, if you're not at your best, when someone tells you you're boring, it can really cut you to the core. So, all that to say, I'm super happy to be in my closet right now by myself. But enough about me. This week, well, this is episode 71. We are talking to Jordan Watts. She is a musician. She's an author. And I wanted to have her on because she is really into freedom and embracing who you are, your actual identity, so you can be free to enjoy yourself, so that we can all just calm the heck down and relax a little bit and enjoy our lives. We talk a lot in this episode about how to hear God's voice, how to not be so paralyzed, being afraid that you're going to miss it, that you don't move forward. We talk about the big shift that happened in her life when she started actually buying into what God says about her. It was very different to read about it and generalize it for the population at large than to actually apply it to you and your life and the mess that you know you're in and that you've made of yourself. So super encouraging. I really loved it. It's funny because when I record these episodes, I mean, I am listening. Obviously, I ask questions that follow up, but I never remember what we talk about until I go to edit it. And I just really loved this one. It's full of so much truth. They all are, but I guess this is just something I really needed to hear. So I hope you really love it. And let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Jordan. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being willing to talk this fine day. This is election day. We have kind of already bemoaning that fact.
It is election day.
By the time this airs, everyone will know what's happening, but we are currently in the dark.
Waiting with bated breath, right?
Yes. So will you please tell everybody about yourself? We need to think about something else.
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure that I'm a much better option. But so I am Jordan, and I am married to my husband, Brandon, for 15 years next month.
Okay.
We got married when I was 12.
I was going to say, you're like super young.
No, we got married 2 weeks after I turned 19. So okay. We got married young, and I have grown up with him, and it was the best thing I ever did. I tell everybody that everything good in me is Jesus and my husband in that order, and he is awesome. So I'm married to him. We have three kiddos, and they are crazy and on stun. My daughter Emerson is 9. My boys are Sutton and Foster. They are 7 and 5. And literally, as you just heard, as we were getting ready to start, they are out with a babysitter, and one of them has already busted up his leg and is in need of medical care / band-aids. So that's just par for the course in my life.
So good. I love it. Yeah, they just, my daughter fell, broke her arm, and knocked out both of her two front teeth right as my husband was going out of town, and we had just gotten a new puppy. It's like, this is perfect. This is beautiful. Yeah. So you like laughing. Laughing is a big deal to you.
I do like laughing.
You have a book about it that just came out. And
I do
love humor. I don't know if you're like this, but I like am interested in the study of what is funny and why is it funny. Do you like that stuff too?
I have to say, I've not really ever thought about that. That's very intriguing.
Well, if there's something that's on a topic of like, why is that funny? What about that is funny? How could you say that and make it more funny? I don't know. I just really love that stuff. Is that weird? I was hoping you were too. I have books on it, but no, just me.
Yeah. You know, maybe that should be my next book. Like, why is funny funny? I don't know.
Because some people, you can take the same story told by two different people and it's funny or it's not.
That is completely true. You are totally right about that. And I think it's how willing you are to look stupid in front of other people and to tell the truth and not look polished. I think that's a big part of it because funny is real, and sometimes we're so afraid of being real that we like to polish things to the point that it's just not funny anymore. So you got to be willing to be a little raw and real. And for me, I mean, I tend to, the more raw, the more real / sometimes inappropriate, the harder I laugh.
What was your growing up like? Did you come from a funny family?
I think I do. I think we had a pretty good camaraderie and laughter and humor growing up. Okay. I think I got a lot of that from my mother. My dad tells horrible jokes. He's really not funny, but sometimes he's so not funny that he's funny, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And my siblings are both really funny. So I think I had a mom who really modeled what it looked like to laugh a lot and not take life too seriously. And that was a huge, huge thing for me to learn growing up, because I think naturally I was very tightly wound and kind of type A for a very long time. And she helped me to realize that not everything is just that big of a deal.
Okay. So as a type A tightly wound person, what did she say that was helpful to you? Teach me your ways.
I don't know if it was what she said so much as what she modeled, which was to laugh a lot and just constantly to come back to the fact that, I mean, ultimately, this sounds like such a super spiritual issue, but God is so sovereign and he's so in control. We don't have to worry or stress nearly as much as we are prone to over things that we might deem really significant. But at the end of the day, they're really not that significant in light of eternity. You know, we just kind of have to take a step back and realize it's okay. We can breathe. God's got this thing. And I think there's a lot of freedom in that. And I think because of that, we can laugh at the things that might otherwise, I know for me, especially in motherhood, I can laugh at the things that otherwise might send me to an early grave.
Yes. Yes. You told me that your kids are whistling all the time now. Is that one of the things?
There is so much whistling happening in my house right now. So much whistling all the time. And there is the whistling. I don't know if you ever remember, if you remember this Will Ferrell skit or not from Saturday Night Live from years ago, but he played this guy who he said suffered from a voice modulation disorder. And he talked like this all the time, like at a really loud volume.
Yes.
And I feel like my kids are suffering from a whistling modulation disorder because there is no quiet whistling. There's no even like jovial, fun whistling.
Yes.
It's whistling at 11 all the time.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
It's like a yelling whistle.
I didn't know it was possible. And sometimes it's combined with almost a humming. So it's like,
I hate that. I hate the combination. It really is irritating.
It's a lot. And so my two oldest both know how to do that now. My youngest doesn't. But by the time he gets there, I mean, Jesus help me.
Yes. My kids right now are always galloping around on pretend horses. The whole house. But they have to, you know, you got to get the horse to start. And for some reason, their horses only start with like wild yelling.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know when they're starting their imaginary horse. And so every time it gives me an adrenaline rush.
You know, it does. Sometimes I feel like we are kind of lured into this idea of feeling like things are calm and quiet and, you know, a certain moment. And then out of nowhere, it's just like wild banshees. They come. It's like they sense the quiet and they think this is not right.
Yes.
And now is my moment.
Yes.
We went camping this weekend.
Okay.
Which is a whole other story in and of itself. So much preparation to go sleep on the ground and cook over a fire.
It takes so much. It does.
So much. But it was also daylight saving time weekend.
Okay.
And so Sunday morning, the children were up. Instead of being up about 8, they were up about 6:30 when the sun was starting to come out. Mm-hmm. And the noise, we had 6 kids on our campsite, and I think the entire campground woke up at 6:30.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're stressing me out right now. Okay. So you told me another thing your mom taught you was how to hear God's voice. So what is that? What does that look like to someone who thinks, I have no idea what that even means?
I think this is something that my mom, again, modeled so well for me. And she equipped me with the knowledge of who God is, you know, and then my heart came to a place of believing that he is who the Bible says he is. Mm-hmm. From there, she allowed me the freedom to make choices as I grew up. And, you know, obviously, the older I got, the more freedom she gave me. But she really taught me how to trust God from a young age and how to kind of take those steps of faith. She and my dad were super supportive of me taking steps in a direction that I felt maybe like the Holy Spirit was prompting me toward that weren't the norm for people my age, if that makes sense.
What's an example of that?
An example of that would be me coming out of high school. I was a musician already part-time. I'm a musician by trade, and I was working in high school part of the time as a vocalist, and I really felt like God was leading me down a different path than most of my peers. I didn't go to college. I graduated from high school a year early and worked really hard to do that, to go kind of straight into my vocation. And I think a lot of parents, that would have completely freaked them out. And then I got married 2 weeks after I turned 19. So it was a whole triple whammy, you know?
Yes.
Wow. But I think my parents taught me from a young age to hear from God and to take steps that I felt like he was calling me to. And then they saw my willingness to be obedient to him. And so it was kind of a two-way street there. They gave me that freedom. And then they also learned to trust Christ in me. Hmm. And so I was able to navigate life really listening to God, what do you have for me? Not just falling into these parameters of what is the norm, but what do you have for me? Yeah. And my parents allowed me to listen to him, and they allowed me to act on what I felt like he was calling me to do. So it can be a challenging thing to hear from God, because sometimes it requires us taking a step of faith before we really even fully feel that trust in who he is, that he's going to come through. Hmm. You know, sometimes we take that step of faith and then we learn to trust him. But the more we take those steps of faith, the more easy of a time we have trusting him. You know, So I think she just taught me that, and she allowed me the freedom to do that so that I could kind of just walk the path that he laid out for me, not for anybody else.
That's really neat, because it probably, as a parent, seems safer and wiser to just do the regular thing and fit the kids into the mold. My kids, I don't think they're going to necessarily, one of them in particular, fit the mold that I would like for them to, or that I thought that they would before I had kids, you know?
Right.
So I think, trusting God above trusting the typical plan. That's good.
Yeah. I think there's so much value in that. And I think for my children, what it's given me as a perspective as a parent, it's helped me to see that far beyond academic pursuits and kind of what we would call worldly knowledge and things of that nature. I want my kids to learn what it means to walk closely with Jesus and to hear from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, learning from books and studying and all that is valuable. I say that as the person who didn't go to college, mind you. It's valuable. But so much more than that is hearing the voice of God and walking closely with him through life. And whether that means he calls them to college, whether that means he calls them to be a garbage man, I don't care what he calls them to be. I just want them to know him and know his voice.
Yeah. Well, and I think interestingly, I did go to school. I have like 3 degrees, and I only say that to say I ended up at the same place you ended up. It doesn't, it really doesn't yield life or security or all the things that we think it will. And you saved a lot of money and time, and we all both ended up at the same place. So,
yeah, there's a lot of value in education for a lot of people. It wasn't for me, and you know, it may be for my kids, it may not be for them. Either way, I don't really care. They'll be paying for it themselves.
Yeah. it doesn't matter. Best of luck, children, in whatever decide to do. I think for me, I felt like I was going to get security by doing all the degrees. For me, it was an idol. And so same ending, that it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. So you told me that you feel like God has given you and your husband a vision for your family. And it's a little concerning because you're not sure how that's going to possibly happen. Tell me about that.
I love that. This is this is, again, one of those times when we feel like we've kind of heard the voice of God and we go, yeah, okay. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if it is you, God, because otherwise there's just no way. I think for us, where we find ourselves right now, as we are trying to navigate life for our family, is feeling like God has kind of called us to a place at some point in the not too distant future where my husband, who is currently in corporate America, okay, where he'll leave corporate America and we'll be in ministry full time as a family.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, sing or something, obviously. No, so over the last several years, God has really shifted my ministry focus to working with women, working with moms, women. It doesn't just have to be mothers, but just working with them because I feel like he's given me so much freedom in my life. And I just love to encourage other women in that. So I write and I speak to women. I think that he's moving us in the direction that that ministry is growing. My husband also has a ministry for men that he does, and they kind of coincide with each other, but we're not really directly connected ministry-wise. At any rate, the backstory to this is that about 4 years ago, my husband went on a retreat, and it was this really super intensive, solitude-focused retreat where he just spent a lot of time alone with God. Mm. And he came home and he was so excited because he said, Jordan, I really feel like God spoke to me about our family. He said, I really feel like he gave me a really clear word. And I feel like what he told me is that, as especially as our boys get older, our boys at that point would have been, I don't know, 3 and 1. They were young. But he said, as they get a little bit older, you know, 7, 8 years old, I really feel like God's telling me that I need to be at home and available and accessible to them in a different way than I am right now. Okay. I feel like that's what our boys need. And me being the type A security minded person that I am, said, well, babe, that I just think that's great. And I am so glad that you work in this job in corporate America where you have so much flexibility and time off and you get home every day at 4:30. I mean, sounds like that's exactly what God must have meant.
Yeah, I would have had the same response.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it did not go over well. In hindsight, I'm like, wow, that was so stupid and insensitive of me. But, you know, my nasty side, like my Jordan side came out, not my Jesus side. Mm. And I effectively shut him down, and he was shut down. He looked at me and he was like, God gave me that. Okay. You know, what are you talking about?
Was he wanting to quit his job? That was the idea, was to quit, or?
No, not at that moment by any stretch. He just said, I feel like down the road, I don't know what it'll look like, but I feel like God's kind of shown me that this is what our boys need and that life's going to look different for our family.
Okay.
Not at that moment by any stretch, but I just thought, well, you get home at 4:30 a lot of days, so we're fine.
Yeah.
We have healthcare. We have, you know, a consistent salary, all those things.
Yeah.
And the next morning I got up, I was getting ready to actually go sing, and I hopped in the shower, and God talks to me a lot in the shower. I don't know why. But in that moment, he told me, Jordan, I gave that to your husband. Huh. I gave that to Brandon. And you're not just shutting him down, you're shutting me down.
Interesting.
It was just one of those moments where I thought, I mean, if God could have spoken audibly to me, it would have been just as impactful, because I got out of the shower, I threw some clothes on, I went in and woke him up. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I am so sorry. Huh. Because, I mean, the Lord just absolutely wrecked me over the way that I responded to you yesterday. And I trust Christ in you. And I trust whatever it is that he's doing, that he'll bring it to fruition. We have no idea what that looks like. Uh-huh. But I trust that, you know. And so we've stewed on that for the last 4+ years and always have had it in the back of our minds. But over the last several months, we really have started to feel like God's moving us kind of in this direction. I don't see a way out. I don't listen. Last week when they're talking about Obamacare premiums going to $2,400 a month, I was like, oh no, he's fine at his job. He's good. He's great.
Things are super right now. Yeah.
Things are great. Yes. Because, you know, that part of me just freaks out. God will have to make a way for us if this is what he really called us to. But at the same time, we just have to stand here with open hands and say, okay, we're willing to step out. We're willing to listen and walk in obedience to what we think you're calling us to, and trust that you're not going to let us completely crash and burn here. So yeah. I don't know what it'll look like, but we're just praying and asking God to make it clear and give us courage, and also give us clarity to know when to move and when to stay and all of those things.
It sounds like you have been growing a lot, and as you kind of walk this out in the unknowns of it, how does it look like in your marriage? When do you ever turn against each other for moments and just, I know, okay, so this time last year, my husband got laid off. And so throughout the whole holiday season, he had no job. And it did not go well. Probably every 4 minutes I'd go in and be like, did you find anything? Have you applied? Did you hear anything? Do you have an interview?
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that wasn't helpful. I thought it was helpful. It turns out it wasn't.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Man, I was really on top of things. So what does it look like when you are in the dailiness of it, not doing well? Like, how do you get back on track? Because I know a lot of women, either their husbands don't have jobs or they're underemployed and they can't quite make ends meet or whatever. There's financial strains. So how do you keep Christ the focus?
For me, it's just a reminder that this is not my load to bear. This is not my thing to carry.
Okay.
There are a lot of things that God's given me responsibility for when it comes to my family, when it comes to being a wife, when it comes to, you know, being a friend, whatever that might be. He's given me responsibility for sure. And he gives all of us responsibility for sure. But he also tells us, this is something I've talked a lot about lately, but it's so extremely profound in life when we can grasp this, I think. And I fail at it sometimes and have to come right back around to it. But Jesus said, you know, when you're weary, come to me and let's make a trade because my burden is light. And so if we're walking around with this heaviness and this constant anxiety and worry over the what ifs and the future and all of those things, we're carrying around a load that is not ours to bear. You know, yeah, we can pray, we can press into the Lord, we can talk, we can plan, we can do all of those things. But ultimately, this is a God-sized thing to carry around. And I think it's a perspective shift for me that I have to come back to, okay, wait a second, I've picked up this thing over here that's not mine to carry. It's just not for me. And when I let go of that and I make that trade with him, it doesn't mean that we lose all responsibility in our situations, but my load is lightened. And he promises us that, you know, that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and we realize he really can be trusted. So we just got to keep doing what he calls us to and realize he's going to be faithful. He's always faithful, always faithful.
Yeah, so good. You mentioned to me that you struggle with selfishness regarding your kids or just in general.
Did I say that?
Oh, maybe I just observed that in you.
I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when you said it, I'm like, yes. I like you. You have curly hair. You're funny. You're selfish.
Right. Yeah, I'm so selfish. Hilarious.
So tell me about how you, because I know it does, it brings it out, the kids. My husband is so sweet that he didn't really bring out my selfishness because he's so like flexible.
Gosh, mine too. I know. It's so sickening. I'm like, you are so nice.
Freaking happy and you wake up and you're singing. Stop it.
Right. I know. I am so selfish. I mean, I look at my husband all the time. I'm like, bless you because you are, thank goodness you are so low key. And honestly, I mean, his laid back personality has had such a good impact on me over the years. I'm so much more laid back now than I was. I mean, I can only imagine when he first married me.
Yes. I just had this conversation with my husband, like for reals, 11 years ago. I would not have even, what were you thinking?
Right. I mean, I look back and I think God gave you eyes to see me for who I could become because I was just so obnoxious, you know, and I still am, which just goes to show I was even more obnoxious.
Those were dark days.
They were. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, my husband, and Prozac have done a lot of good for me.
There you go.
Some people get upset when I joke about medication, and I'm sorry, but I have struggled with depression in my life, and I'm sorry. Like, medication's an awesome thing, and I can laugh about it because, praise Jesus, we have help and a way out when we're hot messes like I have been. So, anyway.
For sure. No, I agree. And I did ask you a question, but I'm scrapping that question for just a moment. So, do you think that humor, I mean, because so many people who are funny kill themselves. I mean,
they do.
I'm not trying to be dark, but I am dark sometimes. Yeah. And so what do you think the connection is with that? I don't know. There's just so much darkness with humor. So it's part of the thing I'm fascinated about with funniness.
I know. I'm starting to feel like you should write that book. You know, I don't know what it is. I feel like sometimes, I think there's kind of two sides of humor. There are people who use humor as their defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. And there are people who use humor just because they like to laugh and have fun. I've probably been both in my life.
I think you start as defense. I don't know.
I think so. But I think a lot of the people that we see like these, I mean, I think about Robin Williams and all these amazing talents, you know, and I think for so many, it's their persona and it's just kind of this pretense and facade for all this pain that's lying underneath, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just a way to come across as the life of the party when you feel miserable. I think I've been that person. Praise Jesus that I'm not that person today.
How did you get there?
You know, he brought me to a place in my early 20s where I was so miserable that I kind of had to make a choice. I had to decide how I was going to live my life, how I was going to take steps forward. And I was in a place where I was completely miserable pursuing ministry things even that I thought for sure were going to make God love me more somehow. I always trusted him as my savior, but I didn't understand his love for me.
Yeah.
And I think he brought me to that place, and I'm so thankful that he did, because I had to decide whether I really believed fully that he loved me just as I was without anything that I could ever say or do to make him love me any more or any less. Mm-hmm. Did I really believe that or not? And I had this massive shift in my life. Then I went through counseling. I was diagnosed with depression, and I was in a bad place. I had an eating disorder, very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I look back on that as one of the greatest gifts in a way that God has given me, because it forced me to decide what I really, really believed about his character and who he is, because I believed him for salvation, but I really didn't believe him for his love for me, just as I was.
Mm-hmm.
Once I decided, you know what, I'm not going to spin my wheels anymore. I don't have to prove myself to you anymore. I'm going to trust that you really do love me, no matter whether I do another, you know, quote, good thing in my life or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely changed the way I live my life. And in that moment and in those moments, God brought me the most amazing amount of freedom, something that I could have never imagined up until that point, but it radically shifted my life, radically.
And he brought you the freedom through just you spending time asking him, like, who are you really? What do you think of me really?
Yeah, I think I knew what he thought of me, but I just didn't totally buy into it. I knew all the answers. I grew up in church. I knew his word. I knew what the Bible said about what God felt about me and all those things.
Uh-huh.
I grew up with a father and with a situation in my home where I performed a lot for my father's attention and affection. He was extremely angry, and we didn't have a real great atmosphere in my home. We talked about the funny and all that stuff, but things were really volatile in my house. And I think we really do transfer onto the Lord, who is holy and incapable of failing us and incapable of sinning against us. We project onto him the things that we learn in our homes from our parents. And Lord knows I'm doing it for my kids now. I always tell them, I'm giving you plenty of ammunition for therapy down the road, you know? But I think for me, it came to a point where I had to decide, really, do I believe what I know he says? Do I believe it to be true?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to allow my perception of what a parent is to dictate how I live my life, to earn and strive for his affection and approval? And I was so exhausted, Emily, that honestly, it wasn't like months and months and months of just seeking. And I was exhausted. And it was a one day encounter for me where I said, I'm done. Enough. I'm done. I said, I'm never going to go out and try to seek out work as a musician. I was trying to get a record deal. I was miserable. I hated that life. I said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm doing none. I'm done. I'm going to do what I feel like God's called me to do, but I'm not going to do anything because I feel like it's going to help earn me his love and affection, or that I'm doing enough for the cause of Christ. I'm not doing it anymore. And I pulled the plug on stuff that I was working on.
Hmm.
It was a massive life shift for me. It was the best thing I've ever done.
And you immediately felt free.
I did. I immediately felt free. Immediately.
Do you ever feel the pull back towards performance and things like that?
I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there are little moments here and there where it's easy for me to think like, oh gosh, I just spoke to a massive group of women and what did they really think? How did it really go? I think all of us deal with that to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But I just love where he's brought me, because everything that I'm doing now is out of an overflow of understanding how much he loves me just like I am. When we operate out of a response to his love, as opposed to a striving for his love, it just changes everything we do.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel pulled back into that, because the thought of walking away from the freedom that he's brought me is just depressing to think about. You know, the thought of walking back into that bondage and that place of mental misery.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be that person again. So that's why I think he's given me such a war cry for women, especially, just to say there is so much freedom that comes in walking with Christ and doing life with Jesus and being a child of God. There's so much freedom, and so many of us stop at salvation.
Yeah.
We don't ever fully receive that freedom, whether it's in our marriages or in motherhood. I think moms especially, we walk so much and navigate so much of motherhood with this intense pressure that we put on ourselves a lot of the time. that culture yeah. might put on us, whatever that might be. And there's so many heavy things. And God's saying, there's such a better way. You're never going to be perfect. I don't need you to be perfect. There's such a better way to operate, though. Like, live free. Show your kids what it looks like to live free. And that's ultimately why I wrote my book.
Yes. So, I love that. Now, okay, so for the person who just today, they're going to get your book, but they just need one step. Like, what can they do today? They're feeling very overwhelmed.
I think the first thing, and it kind of ties back into what I mentioned earlier, I think the first thing is to realize their identity is completely 100% found in the person of Jesus Christ and in a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. All of the other stuff, all of the things that make us feel completely stressed out, like we're carrying around these loads that are impossible to bear, and we're struggling in the muck and the mire of depression and heaviness and bondage. None of that is Jesus. Hmm. None of that's Jesus. There's nothing in the character of God that reflects those things. And so we have to step back and go, okay, wait a second. If all these things that I'm feeling over here are not a reflection of who God is and what it looks like to be made new as a child of God, an heir, just like Jesus, you know, an heir to God like Christ, then we have to lay those things down. And it sounds so trivial and it sounds, you know, like, oh, that's a nice idea. But it's actually possible. It comes down to our faith and our trust that God is who he says he is, and us stepping back and realizing, okay, right now I'm not operating in the freedom that God offers me as his child. And so it takes sometimes making some really active choices, you know, to change the way that you are navigating your daily life. Maybe it means walking away from some things that you're involved in because those things are weighing you down. I don't know what it looks like ultimately, but I know that if we can first step back and realize, okay, if we're feeling this way, this is not of God, and there actually is more that he offers to us.
And that's so hard to stop and go, hold it, this is not right. This is not freedom. Instead of just walking in the bondage and going, I feel terrible, and not stopping to go, hold it, I feel terrible. I don't need to feel terrible.
The hardest part is that stopping and that pausing. And it can feel overwhelming to think, well, gosh, he offers me freedom, but I don't even know how to get there. I feel so bound up. But here's what I know about God. If he's going to offer us something, he's going to help us get there. He's not going to say, I'm going to give this thing to you. Now go figure it out and good luck. May the force be with you. Right? That is not the way God operates. Yeah. And so we may not be able to see 10 steps down the road, but we can always just take a step. And so if our first step is to pause and say, okay, wait, how am I living right now? What things in my life are keeping me from walking in the freedom that he offers me? If I'm really, really heavy with stuff over here, how do I get to this place of walking with that light, easy burden like he talks about? It just takes a step. So maybe you just take one single step, and this kind of comes back around to hearing the voice of God. Just stop, get quiet and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to live this way. This is no way to live. This is not life. You offer us abundant life, and I'm not living in that. So what do I need to change? Be still. And then when you feel the prompting from the Holy Spirit, even if you don't know what that totally feels like, but something in your gut says, hey, this thing right here, this thing, I'm going to just start with this thing. And you keep feeling like God's kind of digging his finger into it, and it's something you can't let go of. Work toward change in that one thing. God's big enough. He knows if our heart is for seeking him and doing what he wants us to do, he's going to help us navigate this.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid of taking a step towards something and think, well, what if I mess this up? He's about our hearts. He is fully capable of redirecting us. He's going to get us where we want to go. He's more concerned with our hearts and, you know, yielding ourselves to him.
Yeah. I think some of us are afraid to step out because we don't want to fail at a relationship with God, but it really is not something you can fail at. If you're just looking at him, he will make you quote unquote successful at it, you know, because he knows how to communicate with us.
Yeah. I feel like I lived so much of my life earlier on before this pivot in my life thinking I was paralyzed. I was truly paralyzed by the thought that I was going to miss God, or that I was going to take a step that was going to be out of sync with God, and I was going to screw things up. That was me. And so because it scared me so much, I would be paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't take a step at all. I love in the New Testament where there's just a small section of scripture, and I can't remember the address right now, but where it highlights Paul, you know, and Paul's had this call from God, and God's saying, hey, go. It's time for you to go. You're going to take the news of Jesus and what he's done, and you're going to take it to people and it's going to be hugely impactful. Mm-hmm. Well, Paul didn't sit around and think like, well, am I supposed to go to Corinth or am I supposed to go to Ephesus? But I don't want to miss God, because what's the thing? Where is he really, really calling me right now? It said like Paul packed his stuff up and he set out and he went out and started preaching. And he shows up in the first city and the people didn't have ears to hear him. So he packed his stuff and he went to the next city and they basically booed him out of town, and he packed his stuff again and he went on to the next city. And finally he ends up in this place where he has amazing, amazing, fruitful ministry for an extended period of time. But does that mean that Paul missed God in those other moments? No. God knew Paul's heart was, okay, God, I'm in. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you're calling me to, I'm going to go. I'm willing to step out and go. And God said, great. Okay. You set out and, you know, he closed people's ears to hear him. Doesn't mean Paul missed God. It just means God's sovereign enough that he's going to get us where we need to go. We can trust him.
I love it. So good. So good work, Jordan. Yes. So, okay. So I have one final question for you. What can you just not shut up about right now?
I think the thing right now that I am most excited about is the Chick-fil-A chicken tortilla soup that they have brought back on the menu.
I have never had that.
Okay, well, it's good. And I feel like because it's soup that it's healthy.
Don't even have to think about it.
So that is what I tell myself when I go order a massive bowl and put all the tortilla chips in there and get the double bags of tortilla chips.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like I look around at Chick-fil-A and I think to myself, look at all these people eating their fried chicken sandwiches. And I am just sitting here eating my soup because I am the queen of self-control.
You clearly are, especially with all the tortilla chips in there.
Right. Right. So I am obsessed with Chick-fil-A's chicken tortilla soup right now. And I would like to go ahead and publicly ask that they leave it on the menu all the time.
Oh, do they take it off sometimes?
Yes. No, it just comes back seasonally, which is disturbing to me. Then I go in and I order and they say, I'm sorry, we don't have it on the menu anymore.
Then you say, how dare you? And they say, it's my pleasure.
And then I say, okay, fine. Just give me a spicy chicken deluxe with extra cheese.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Extra and fries. And I'm incredibly upset.
And a sweet tea. Yeah.
Self-control out the window. Awesome.
Yeah, these thighs don't come from self-control, but they do come from really good, really good fried chicken.
I love that. That's so funny. Okay, so I have one more question that is not something I normally ask, but I'm sitting here staring at your curly hair. And I have curly hair. What product do you use? Your favorite?
That's a funny question. I'm glad that I can answer you about this now, because growing up, my mom had stick straight blonde hair, and nobody in my family had curly hair.
What?
All she would do every day was brush it, and I had bangs.
Oh, no.
I know. The whole world just cringed right now.
Well, anyone who has curly hair is like, no.
Oh.
I don't even
have like
a brush.
It's like horrible. It is the absolute worst thing that you can do for curly hair. I don't own a brush either, but you know, you brush those curls and it turns into 1,000 million individual curls that turn into a frizz nest large enough for a bald eagle to hatch its eggs in. That's basically what I grew up with. So when I got older into middle school, I discovered hair gel. And then I kind of went to the other extreme where I used so much that my hair looked wet all the time.
Oh, I get it. But you at least know that it's under control. And so it's kind of like
it was not moving. It was not moving. It was under control is an understatement. I look at my middle school pictures and I think, good grief. I probably could have literally cut somebody if they touched my hair.
They took like your pictures in the shower. You look like you're soaking wet.
It was rock hard, baby. Loved it.
So funny.
Anyway, now what I tend to use is Biolage gel.
That stuff smells amazing.
It does smell amazing. Or a knockoff of that. Don't use the gloppy gel that like makes all that noise when you squirt it out of the tube.
That is a good noise, by the way.
You have to get the kind. Really did you like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope you leave that in. You don't want the kind of gel, though, that's all like gummy and really thick. You want the kind that's a good maple syrup texture. Mm. And then I take it and I run it through my hair, but I don't comb it through my hair, like finger comb, because it separates my curl even more. So I just kind of like hope it goes through and press it in. And then I flip upside down and blow dry with the diffuser for 2 minutes, and my hair dries really fast.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay. Mine dries in like 4.5 hours. It's a little bit ridiculous. So,
but you don't blow dry it?
I do, but there's just so much of it. And I put my, I may have to cut this out because other than the very few of us who has curly hair, even cares about this. But putting conditioner in, regular conditioner, like from the shower, put that in and leave it on, you know, because our hair tends to be dry. So lots of conditioner. Okay, yeah. Well, that was riveting for everyone, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it. It's
thank
a lot of really good
stuff. Thank you for having me. Thank you. I appreciate being here. And I hope everybody goes and buys my book. There's my shameless plug.
Is it a printed book or is it
yes.
ebook? I wasn't sure. Okay.
You can get it on Kindle, but it's a book.
Okay.
Book.
Yeah. And it's mainly about then freedom, not comparing, and not taking life too seriously, right?
Yeah. It's laughter and lessons from motherhood and stories to make you feel better about yourself. And so it's I feel like it's a really good blend. And the thing that kind of makes it unique is that it is really funny, but it also really does have some, I think, pretty deep spiritual truths in it. And I feel like for a lot of stuff that I've read, it tends to kind of be one way or the other.
Yes.
And so that was kind of my goal in writing this, was for it to be both and to be something that is accessible. And a great thing about it is every chapter is individual.
Okay.
Meaning it doesn't, like, you don't have to start at the first chapter and when you fall asleep after one page at night, because that's what I do. And then, you go back, like, you're going to be able to pick back up. It's not like you've lost something in translation between chapter 1 and 17, because each one has its own theme. So
that's good. I like that. Good for moms.
Yes.
I will put a link to it in the show notes.
Perfect.
Yay. All right. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Bye. So many good things every week. I promise there are just so many good things. I know you guys like this show, but man, I love all the things I learned from these people. So when she was talking about hearing God's voice, it made me think of John 10:3. It says the sheep, that'd be us, hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then it goes on to say the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So we actually can hear him if we will just be quiet. I think the quietness and the trusting what he's saying when he says it, that's the part where we trip ourselves up. He's not making it hard. We're making it hard. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe it's that very thing. You just sit with God and be quiet. Ask him, like, how will you talk to me? Just tell me something, because I don't even know if I can hear your voice, or maybe it works for other people, but not for me. But it's not true. But give it a shot. He is excited to hear from you. Maybe you sit and think this week about what Jordan said about how we sometimes put character qualities on God that we see in people around us, sometimes our parents, sometimes just people who are influential to us when we were learning. And so maybe you think God is something that he's not, and you can have a look at that. Are you pretending to be someone that you're not? You know how she was saying she was striving for this performance to do music, but she really didn't like that life, but she thought it was the one for her. Are you kind of pushing and striving towards something that you know isn't the right thing? Maybe you put that down this week as your strategy to struggle well. Are you carrying a load that is not yours? She talked about how we sometimes carry God-sized burdens when he wants to trade with us and give us a burden that we can carry. I mean, there are going to be struggles and troubles, but they're not going to be so heavy that we don't even feel like we can move under the weight of them. So maybe you're carrying a burden that is so remarkably heavy and you don't even feel like you can finish the rest of this day. Take that to God, because that you got the wrong size. You got the wrong size burden there. It kind of reminds me of my mother-in-law. She doesn't like flying. She's afraid of it. And she also doesn't like when we fly because it makes her nervous. And so she'll tell us, you know, jokingly, but she'll say, you know, you have to tell me the second you land, because I'm going to be just, you know, worrying, and my worrying is going to hold up the plane. So I feel like we think that our worrying and our carrying of these heavy burdens, or trying to, somehow makes a difference. It doesn't. God has got this. So if you feel like it's too heavy, it's because it is too heavy. You don't have to hold up the plane. Maybe your children, like Jordan was saying, that she was just kind of a different kid. She didn't have the regular path that kids go on regarding like college and vocation and stuff. And maybe you have kids that are got a different thing going on. And instead of trying to force them into what you think they should do, you can just say, you know what? This is a gifting you have. It's different than what I thought. We can all see, like on TV or whatever, the dad who's really going to make his kid be a football player or whatever because he wants to be a football player. So it's easy to see in other people and when they kind of blow it up in a movie or in TV. But I think there's ways that we put on our kids things that we feel like they should do because we feel like they should, not because they necessarily should. So maybe you take a look at some of those expectations you have of your kids and see if you can't remove the expectations that aren't the best fit for your kid. Pray about that. God will talk to you. Well, ladies, I am praying for you and I'm thankful for you and I love interacting with you. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Struggling Well. I'll see you on Instagram on Wednesday night for Struggle Well Wednesday, where we talk about the craziness that's going on in our lives. I super hope that my life does not involve any surgeries this coming week, unless it's a surgery to get less boring, which is what I'm really hoping for. So I'm not sure if that's scheduled yet, but I'm sure my kids will let me know if I get my non-boring self back. You guys are awesome. Remember that what you're doing when nobody's looking and when you're covered in pee and when your kids are telling you you're boring, but you're really not, you're just a little bit stressed out. Remember, all that is really important. You mean the world to your kids and what you're doing is eternal. Have a great week of struggling well.